Gorge du Verdon. Hi, my name is Ian Callan and I'm an Englishman who lives in the Gorge du Verdon, or the Verdon Gorges. I've been living and working in the area since moving from Bristol, England in 2007. The Gorge is located in the southeastern area of France, in the paradise known for its beautiful scenery, clarity of light and saturated colours, the paradise known as Provence. The Gorge is the biggest canyon in Europe, 25 kilometres long, carved out by the River Verdon. Along some of its canyon, you'll find limestone walls reaching up to 700 metres tall, peppered with green forests, and a turquoise-coloured river as its jewel and centrepiece. The Gorge has been described by some as one of the most beautiful gorges in the world. These radio programmes are designed to tell stories about different elements and aspects of this geological wonder. How has the Gorge impacted the human story? Each programme will shed light on the story, telling it from different perspectives. In this programme, we will find out how one of the largest birds in Europe has become an icon of the Gorge du Verdon, increasing tourism in the area and representing a return to nature. We begin our story in the heart of the Gorge du Verdon. I've stood at the feet of the Barbin Cliffs in the Gorge du Verdon. It's a sunny but misty, hazy type of day. It's the afternoon. I'm at 1,000 meters altitude. The cliffs behind me are about 200 meters high. I'm also near woodland. You can hear lots of birds singing. And above me, above the cliffs, I can see vultures flying around. Disappearing and reappearing as they come over the cliffs. The landscape is very green, which suggests there's a lot of water around because otherwise it's quite dry. And there's plenty of black pines, box shrubs, broom shrubs, with a few spring flowers coming through, most notably helpatica, a small little pretty purple flower with a yellow centre. And I've come up here today to spend some time with Jasmine, who is a keen photographer. She enjoys coming up here to photograph the vultures. So I'm going to go along and have a chat with her. Here's Jasmine. Hi.
Hello.
Got any good photographs yet?
I've got a few, yeah. Decent photos.
Brilliant. Do you want to tell the listeners a bit about yourself?
So, my name's Jasmine, I'm 15 years old, and I've been interested in photography for quite a long time, since I was about six, and I've taken photos of vultures for about maybe 5 years now.
So you come into the gorges quite often?
Yep, on quite a regular basis.
And which of the vultures do you photograph?
Well, the most common vulture here is the griffin vulture, so mainly griffin. Sometimes I have seen the Eurasian black vulture and once or twice the Egyptian.
So, Jasmine, I would imagine over the years taking photographs of griffin vultures, you must have acquired a few stories and facts.
Well, I have got a few facts. One of them, which is quite interesting, is so many birds have odd names when you refer to them in their groups. And so a vulture is no exception. For example, a group of vultures is called a kettle, but when they're in the groups, for example, in the trees or on the ground, we would say committee. And there's another term, which is when they're feeding off a carcass, we say a wake of vultures. It's quite unusual because usually birds, they have one name,
mm-hmm.
but vultures have got three.
So a kettle, a committee.
And a wake.
And a wake.
Yeah.
Oh, there's quite a few out there now, isn't there?
Yeah, they're all sort of swooping into their caves. There's quite a lot of bat actually now, suddenly they're all sort of coming out.
So in the Gorge du Verdon, there are four different types of vultures. Are vultures found throughout the world?
Vultures, they're found on every single continent on Earth, except for Australia and Antarctica. But despite this bird being pretty much spread out all over the globe, of the 22 vulture species that exist, 9 are critically endangered, 3 are endangered, and 4 are near threatened, and the other 6 are much less of concern.
I'm here in the heart of the Gorge du Verdon in a village called La Palud-sur-Verdon, and I've just had a lovely picnic with two friends, Pascal and Delphine, and they're sat with me now and they're here to tell us a bit more about the vultures that live here in the Gorge du Verdon. But first of all, perhaps you could tell us a bit about yourselves. Delphine and Pascal, hello.
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 Yeah, could you tell us a bit about how you became interested in wildlife?
I've been interested in birds and plants and nature in general, really, since the age of around 10. My parents bought a plot of land in the countryside to build a house, and I started watching all the birds and wildlife that I could see outside whilst they were building. And I would sit quietly and watch wildlife, especially as I was a bit bored at the beginning. I started buying, or I should say I asked my parents to buy me wildlife books about birds and plants, and that's how it all started.
And you, Pascal?
I've always been interested in plants and animals, but mainly animals. When I was younger, I thought I wanted to be a vet, but I realised it wasn't really what I wanted to do. I wanted to observe wildlife. So I was around 17 or 18 when I really started to study nature.
And you also had a job working with birds.
J'ai été guide ensuite, guide naturaliste pour.
I was a guide, a naturalist guide, and I went around explaining about birds to people, taking them on nature trails in the forest, showing them birds and explaining about their habitat and how they lived. I did that for a few years, and then I did the same thing, but taking groups of school children around instead.
And that's how we first met.
Okay. So I think that Delphine and Pascal are quite well placed to start to, or to begin to tell us about the vultures that live here in the Gorge du Verdon. Perhaps, Delphine and Pascal, you could tell us a bit about the griffon vulture.
The griffon vulture is the most common vulture that you can find in the Gorge du Verdon. There are quite a few of them. It's a fairly big bird, and its wings have a very rectangular shape. It hasn't got wings that are pointed. It's got long wings, and its wingspan measures up to 2 meters 70. It's called fauve in French, which means brown coloured. The contours of its wings are a darker shade of brown. It's got a very small head with no feathers on it, like most vultures. African vultures are also like that, with a little feather collar, which helps them to keep clean when they feed off dead animals. So this bird lives in colonies where several couples will reunite to breed during the breeding season.
And what about where they live, their habitat? Where would you find griffon vultures?
Vultures nest together in their colonies in the cliff faces, so you get several couples, as many as 10 or so together. They're not flying around much today because the weather isn't very good, and they need to use the thermals for flying, the currents of air that are produced when the air heats up around the cliffs. So they wait for it to reach certain temperature, and then they fly as a group. If it's warm enough for one to fly, it's warm enough for all of them.
Tous groupés. Puisque quand la température est bonne pour l'un, elle est bonne pour tout le monde.
And what do they eat?
They eat carcasses. What I mean is they're incapable of killing their prey. They are birds of prey. They eat meat because they are carnivores. But they only eat animals that are already dead. Unlike other birds of prey, like the eagle or falcon, their claws are very weak and they can't use them to kill their prey. So they'll eat prey that is already dead. They use any natural openings in the flesh and tear them open even more with their beaks, and then they go inside and they eat the intestines and the muscles and so on. These birds feed in a group, so to find a dead animal, they'll fly really high up in the sky, so high that we can barely see them. But because they have very good eyesight, they can see what's on the ground perfectly. And also, they carefully watch all the other birds flying around them, the other vultures, but maybe crows and ravens. So as soon as these other birds find a carcass, there'll be a commotion around it, and the vultures notice and fly down to the carcass as well.
And I believe, Delphine, that you have on your telephone some recordings of the griffon vulture.
Oui.
Can we hear that?
Oui.
So it sounds like a dinosaur. Sounds quite scary.
It's not very melodic. Vultures certainly aren't known for their beautiful bird song, but they mainly communicate by looking at each other, so their voice isn't a very important tool for them.
There are three other vultures that live here in the gorges. Pascal, you're going to tell us a bit about the black vulture.
Alors le vautour moine.
So the black vulture is much darker than its cousin, the griffon vulture. It's very black, but that doesn't necessarily help to distinguish it from the griffon vulture when it's flying. Its outline is a bit different. In flight, its two wings form a broad rectangle, and they each have feathers like digits on the end that look like fingers and are easily visible in flight. It's also a bit bigger than its cousin, with a wingspan that can measure up to 2 meters 90, and it's also a heavy bird that can weigh up to 10 kilos. But it's a bit less social than the griffon, and we see less of them flying together.
10 kilos. Et il est un peu moins grégaire que le vautour fauve. Il est, on le voit en moins grand nombre. Et en général.
In general, the black vulture will follow the griffon vulture to a carcass, and so it uses the griffon to help locate its food. And when the griffon has finished, the black vulture will eat from the carcass, and it'll take the bits of dead animal that are harder to eat. It nests in trees, unlike the griffon vulture, which nests in the cliff face, and they are less widespread than the griffon.
Comme le fauve de Charogne, et il est capable avec son bec puissant de détacher les tendons, de prendre des parties plus dures de l'animal qui est mort. Il niche dans les arbres, à la différence du vautour fauve qui lui niche dans les falaises. Et voilà, on le trouve en moins grand nombre toujours que son cousin le fauve.
So, can I ask, when would black or the griffon lay their eggs? What time of year would they have their babies?
Ces deux vautours pondent en général.
These two species of vulture lay their eggs in winter, in January or February, depending on the country where they live. The more south they live, then the earlier they lay their eggs. They lay very few eggs. I think the black vulture and griffon both lay only one egg each. And also they don't start laying until late in life, as they take several years to reach sexual maturity. They only have one chick, and they are quite susceptible to being shot or poisoned, and that's why they've nearly disappeared from many regions in France.
C'est pour ça qu'ils ont disparu de quasiment toutes les régions où ils ont été en France.
And how old do they have to be before they can lay eggs then?
À peu près 4 ans.
About 4 years old for the griffon vulture and a bit later for the black vulture, because they take several years to reach sexual maturity.
Do you have the black vulture's cry or call on your phone there that we can listen to?
Oui.
Yes, I do have it.
It's quite different to the griffon vulture, isn't it? Different sound.
Oui.
Calm.
Yes, it doesn't really sound much like the griffon vulture, but I think it depends at what moment it's recorded.
Next vulture that I'd like you to tell me about, Delphine, is the Egyptian vulture.
Alors le vautour percnoptère est beaucoup.
Right. The Egyptian vulture is much smaller and hasn't exactly got the same shape. I mean, the black vulture and the griffon vulture are both very rectangular, but the Egyptian vulture's wings are more pointed and its tail is more pointed at the back. In French, we'd say it has a diamond-shaped tail. Looking at its colours, they are quite contrasting because it's black and white. When we see it flying, it looks like it's a white stork, but obviously with a much shorter head, and its legs aren't as long as a stork's. That was what we can say about the adult, but the juvenile, on the other hand, is a much darker brown, and it becomes black and white as it matures. The head of the juvenile also is particularly devoid of feathers. He has a hooked beak, typical for all birds of prey. Its diet is a bit different because it's smaller, so it eats what's left after the other vultures have had their fill. But he may also eat waste products like feces or sheep dung or the placenta of a ewe after it's given birth. So it generally tends to eat things that are a bit smaller.
He's not fussy.
Yes, it's quite fussy, as it only eats carrion, dead animals, that is. But let's just say that because there are so many griffon vultures, once they've finished eating and finally let the others have a turn, there's not much left for the black vultures, so they can't afford to be too choosy. Yeah.
And I notice he's got quite a yellow head, quite striking.
Oui, la tête est effectivement très très jaune.
Yes, that's right. His head is very yellow compared to the griffon vulture. The griffon vulture's head is a bit more brown coloured.
He's a bit ugly.
Ah, non, moi je dirais pas ça.
No, I wouldn't say that. I really like the colour of its wings when it's flying. Actually, it's quite an attractive bird in its own way. Let's just say it's definitely not the ugliest bird in the world.
The Egyptian vulture. That's quite different as well, isn't it? Different again. They're like sort of seagulls.
Oui, presque.
A little bit. That's the Egyptian vulture. And finally, Pascal, we've got the bearded vulture or the lammergeier, which you're going to tell us a bit about.
The bearded vulture. Well, it's called that because it has a beard. It has two little feathers, one dangling either side of its beak, which looks like a beard. It's the biggest and rarest of our vultures. Its wingspan is pretty much the same as the black vulture, about 2.90 meters. But it's the rarest vulture. There are hardly any of them and very few couples in France. But we can occasionally see them in the Gorge du Verdon. It has an orangey-brown body. Its head is quite rust-coloured. It has light-coloured eyes with a red border, which are really striking to look at, if you're lucky enough to see it up close, that is. It has many similarities. It's a very vulnerable bird, and it takes several years to become mature and become an adult. About 8 years, in fact. It reaches sexual maturity quite late and lays its two eggs in the cliff faces in the same habitat as the griffon vulture. And then it raises its chicks for several months. As it's a vulture, it also feeds on carrion, so it eats dead animals. It's the last in line to feed off the carcass, so it just gets what's left. But it's actually known for eating the bones. It's able to swallow very big bones that it swallows whole. Its digestive juices are adapted to be able to digest the bones. For any really large bones that it can't swallow in one go, it has a clever habit of snatching them up in his beak, flying really high with them, and then dropping them so they shatter on the rocks below into pieces that are easier to swallow if it doesn't work the first time. It'll just carry on repeating the process.
Dans le ciel, et il va les lâcher pour les casser, enfin en espérant qu'ils se cassent sur des rochers. Si ça fonctionne pas, il retourne chercher l'os, il remonte en altitude et il le relaisse tomber jusqu'à ce qu'il casse, qu'il puisse le.
And its digestive juices will break down the bones to get the maximum amount of energy out of them, which is something that other vultures can't do.
So maybe one or two times he could drop a bone when he's high up and he could hit someone on the head.
I don't know if that's happened before, that a human's been hit on the head by a bone dropped by a bearded vulture. That would really hurt. But fortunately, it lives in relatively unpopulated areas.
Legend has it that that's how Achilles died in Greece. In Greece, there are lots of bearded vultures, and they do the same thing with tortoises to split them open. And apparently, Achilles died from a bearded vulture dropping a tortoise on his head.
That's an interesting story. Do you know how long these birds live?
They're birds that have a long lifespan, between 20 and 30 years for all the vulture breeds.
Right.
And all the same, Egyptian...
Non, c'était le condor.
No, we were saying that there was a condor in captivity that lived up to age 68 years, but in the wild they usually live for between 20 and 30 years.
But this is part of the reproduction strategy for birds that have a long lifespan. They hardly lay many eggs, but they take good care of their young. Compared to, let's say, birds in the tit family, who produce a lot of eggs twice, sometimes three times a year. But the chicks won't live for very long, and there's a high mortality rate. If a tit lays 10 eggs, let's say, then probably only 5 of the babies will survive the winter. But birds of prey, like vultures, will produce very few eggs, but they take good care of their young, which they keep with them for quite a long time.
Les vautours et les grands rapaces en général vont faire peu d'œufs, vivre vieux et prendre soin de leurs jeunes assez longtemps.
I think that is a very good start for us to know a little bit about what the birds look like. Where, Pascal and Delphine, can we see these birds?
There's a colony site not far from La Palud, so we'll take the car and go and have a look.
We can go now?
Yes, of course you can. Let's go.
So I've just arrived at the Route des Crêtes, which is about 4 kilometers away from the village of La Palud-sur-Verdon. It's high up. It's looking down on La Palud. There's the main gorge here, which is called the Grand Canyon, which is literally now 10 meters away from me, a big drop, which goes down to the River Verdon. And Delphine and Pascal are here, and they say this is where we're likely to see some vultures. So I'll go and join them now. So I've rejoined Delphine and Pascal, and we're stood literally right on the edge of a big drop, 200-300 meters down. You can see the River Verdon, lovely green and blue colour, snaking through the gorge there. Delphine and Pascal, perhaps you could explain exactly where we are.
We're in a place overlooking Le Couloir Sanson, high up on some vast, sheer, grey limestone cliffs, which are particularly popular amongst climbers, except that today it's a bit chilly, so there aren't many here, just one or two people climbing. We're not very far from the Route des Crêtes, so we can hear a few cars driving by. In these cliffs, there are a few holes with some ledges on, and on these ledges we can see a few vultures nesting. They won't nest too close to the viewing point here, as there are too many people around. They like to hide away a bit in a peaceful spot, so now we can't see any vultures on their nests, but we can see a few flying overhead.
Il a notre hauteur.
On est à la même hauteur. Tu enregistres là, oui? On est à la même hauteur que le vautour et on voit très bien de là où on est.
So we can see the feathers that Pascal was talking about on the ends of the wings as they soar past at eye level. You can distinguish its feathers from the collar of feathers around its neck.
We can see one that's quite far away. It's looking for food by flying really high. But as Delphine said, it's not very nice weather today, so we can't see as many vultures as we can normally in a place like this. We can also see several crag martins. They love the rocks. They don't nest in houses like other birds in the martin family. They nest in cliff faces. We also just saw a raven fly by. It's the biggest member of the corvid family and the passerines too, as it happens. The raven also nests in the cliffs, so we have a whole load of birds who choose to nest in this kind of harsh habitat.
Le plus grand des passereaux d'ailleurs de France. Et le grand corbeau, pareil. Niche dans les falaises, donc on a toute une série d'oiseaux qui sont dans leur milieu ici, vraiment des milieux très très abrupts.
And which vultures are we likely to see here today? The griffon, the black Egyptian?
We could maybe see, oh, maybe not actually, the Egyptian vulture is migratory, so we won't be able to see it today. We can see the griffon vulture like we already have, and if we're really lucky, a black vulture. But because the weather's not great, I don't really fancy our chances. I'm not very hopeful, let's say.
Pas très optimiste.
I mean, looking at the rocks, you can see there's plenty of places for them to nest.
Yes, that's right. There are lots of places for them to nest, but we are in a place that is actually quite busy, so they are more likely to go around the other side of the cliff to get a bit of peace and quiet.
Un peu plus tranquille.
So, this is Pierrick, He's the son of Pascal and Delphine. I see you're taking photos.
Ouais, je prends des photos des vautours.
You got any good ones?
Je pense que j'en ai des plutôt pas mal. Et... Bah, je suis assez content. Hein.
C'est des oiseaux qui connaissent très bien leur environnement.
These birds really know their environment. So as soon as there's something that changes, they'll come and take a look. They're not scared of coming closer, so we're able to get a closer look at them at the same time. Some birds just fly off as soon as they're disturbed by something happening around them. But vultures, on the other hand, as soon as something's going on, they like to see what it is. This behaviour has probably come about from the need to keep a constant lookout for carcasses, and that's it really. As soon as anything's going on that's out of the ordinary, they'll fly nearer to see. Not too near, but anyway, you never know.
It's not letting its feet hang down. It's craning its neck, and we can see it's an adult.
There's one that's coming right over our head right now. Ah, he's big. He's a big bird.
And a second one coming.
They don't really flap. They just glide.
Yes, that's right. These birds don't flap their wings. They've got really long wings and they don't like having to flap to fly. So they actually use the warm currents of air to glide. And they glide for a long time, which allows them to cover really long distances.
De faire de très très longues distances. Ah, on a droit.
Ah, we're getting to see a tandem flight right now. Two birds, one flying right exactly above the other one. It looks like synchronized flying. When one's turning, the other is following it exactly. It's wonderful.
Magnifique.
So now around us are about at least 10 or so. Look, look, look.
Oh, la la, he is massive. God, he actually came in to have a look at us. He came in to see us.
We can't be looking very lively because that one came right in to look at us. We've got eight vultures circling over us right now.
Pascal and Delphine are dead.
No, no.
Pascal, Perry's trying to get a really good shot of a vulture. Look, just by the climber. There's a climber, and literally the vulture passed about 20 meters, well, 10 meters from her.
Pour ça que je veux grimper ici.
Whilst we were watching the vultures with Pascal and Delphine, we noticed a climber who was climbing just below us. She's just finished, and we noticed a vulture, a griffin vulture, pass very close to her. So we're just going to have a quick chat with her.
I live about 2.5 hours away near Gap, and I try to come to Verdun at least once a month for a few days or a week.
When you climb here, do you often see the vultures?
Always, always.
And how does it feel when you're climbing with them?
It's awesome. There's a lot of wild animals around the Verdun. You see, you know, the mountain goats all the time, and there's a lot of wildlife around, but those guys are like, they are just the kings of the gorge, and you see them, I guess during, I feel like there are times of day you don't see them. Maybe they're off sleeping or hunting or whatever they do, but when they come around, it's an amazing feeling. And I didn't feel the one you mentioned. I was completely focused on
You're oblivious.
I was completely focused on the work in front of me, but I have experienced the feeling of them, like when you feel the like their gravity, you know, they're so big.
Yeah.
And you just underneath you and you go.
No, he came really close to you, but it's almost like he came to have a look
wow.
at what you were doing. Well, if you had fallen, obviously not good for you, but the vultures would have cleaned you up.
Hopefully. I mean, I would have stayed attached to the wall and my body would have been very accessible, probably, for them to just have at it. And I mean, if you got to go some way.
Exactly. Why not when you're climbing?
Pardon?
Why not when you're climbing?
I mean, or just pay it forward to some wild birds.
To people. In the past, it was believed that they had knocked people over, and that's why they were persecuted, because people believed they would push people over, or a sheep, and then pick up babies and drop them from a height. But in fact, scientists were able to prove that the vulture's legs and claws are really too weak to transport even the smallest bits of food, even to the point that when it builds its nest, it's incapable of carrying a branch in its claws and carries it in its beak instead. So it's not a bird that will attack a sheep and then fly back down to grab it in its claws and fly back up to the cliff with it. It's completely incapable of doing that. The vultures have been reintroduced into the gorge because they'd disappeared. They were poisoned or hunted. And we were saying a moment ago that the species is really quite vulnerable. Wow, there's a great one that just flew over, and Pierre-Yves has got a good photo of it. So as I said, the vultures were reintroduced into the gorge in the 1990s.
I just would like to say thank you to Delphine and Pascal and their family for introducing us to the vultures. Thank you.
De rien.
Merci.
C'est un plaisir pour nous.
So I can see that there's more coming out now.
Yeah, they're coming out from behind those cliffs over there, which is quite nice. And they're sort of perching on the cliff face. It's actually quite a sight, really.
But I'd imagine they're quite well lit. You must be getting some good shots there.
Yeah, we've got the sun, which is lighting them face on, which is really nice.
Oh yeah, good one.
They're sweeping quite
low. Oh, that was close, that one.
Yeah, it's nice. This is quite a fun fact. So vultures, they have a really acute sense of smell, which is quite unusual for birds, because usually their sense of smell isn't really their sort of best sense.
Hmm.
And in fact, in 2010 in Germany, so they attempted to train 3 vultures to work for them.
Really?
Yeah, sort of like sniffer dogs. So the idea was that when the police were searching a large area for a body, instead of having to investigate by foot with a sniffer dog, which, as you can imagine,
yeah,
is really sort of tedious, going through the woods, and
uh-huh,
they could send vultures out to look. So they'd fly over,
mm-hmm,
and it would be a lot quicker. So, unfortunately, the vultures, they didn't really want to play the game.
Right.
They preferred to travel by foot rather
dear
than fly, which, and that was the main point, was that they'd fly. And the 3 vultures would often fight and squabble between themselves. And even sometimes, when they actually found a body, they'd start pecking the body. Which, obviously,
it's not ideal.
No, it wasn't what the police wanted. So, hang on.
Oh,
I'm flying now.
Stories from the Gorge du Verdon. Second exit. I'm travelling away from the Gorge du Verdon today to a village outside of the town called Pertuis to visit a French photographer called David Almond.
It's 700 metres.
As you can tell, I'm not familiar with this. We're about 70 kilometres away from the Gorge du Verdon, and Pertuis is just south of Manosque. Navigate this roundabout. I'm guessing it's this one, Cadenet. David and his wife Stephanie have invited me to their house this morning to talk about their love of griffin vulture photography.
Hello, Yann.
Ça va, David?
Comment
est-ce?
Bien. Yes.
Merci. Hein?
Allez, vas-y.
I finally arrived at David and Stephanie's house, and I'm sat at a lovely wooden table and just had a cup of coffee. And we're going to begin to talk about their work with vultures.
Good morning, Yann.
Good morning,
everybody. We are working together. We are wife and husband. We are a couple. And we are photographing together the nature and the wildlife.
I love this region, the Verdon Gorge, because I was discovering this area when I am young, and since 20 years I photography this region. Griffon vulture is an emblematic bird of the region and the landscape, and we are make a book to show this beautiful country.
So how long have you been a photographer for, David?
20 years.
20 years.
Mm.
And how did you begin photography?
I make spur and climbing. And I make many climb in the Verdon Gorge because it was vertical cliff. And I always love the nature, the animals. And I stopped the climb. And since 20 years, I make a lot of pictures, and now I am professional.
Okay, so what camera did you have first?
The first?
This camera bus?
300D.
Okay.
300D. It's
Canon.
A prehistoric body now.
Prehistoric.
Collector.
What is it about griffin vultures that make them so good to photograph?
I love the animals in the environment. When we see a good light, the frog in winter, I think that you have two seasons fantastic in Verdon Gorge. Spring, flowers and the light, the good light. But I prefer autumn because the colors are fantastic, mm-hmm. and the winter with the snow, because I look for in my photo ambiance,
okay.
atmosphere and graphic line.
Okay. So autumn, there's a lot of good color in autumn in the gorge.
Yeah.
With the fantastic foliage from the trees.
Everything is golden in the landscapes.
And you can see artistic, like a painting, yeah. Artistic photo, because we have many colors.
We decided, David, to take pictures of griffon vulture. Is first because it's an emblematic bird of the region,
mm-hmm.
and it's really majestic. It's very big, nearly 3 meters of wide.
Wingspan,
thank you. And he didn't have a good reputation before. That's the reason why he was disappeared. And now it's important as well for us to show it is important to keep this bird in the nature, because mm-hmm. it's really useful and we need it.
Yeah.
So
he's a cleaner.
He's a cleaner. Yes, exactly. Thank you.
So how did you begin to start taking photos of... You said that you stopped climbing, and then what, did you just go into the gorge with your camera and start taking pictures of vultures?
This is a reintroduction of griffon vulture in Verdun Gorge.
Mm-hmm.
It begins at the same time, the photography. And I am lucky because I see the first birds,
okay.
Flight in the Verdun Gorge. Before, it's impossible to see them because no exist. They already exist in the Verdun Gorge, but they have disappeared.
So were there any other photographers, or was it just you?
There was,
no.
For remember,
no more,
not a lot of photographers.
No.
Because I can imagine these birds were being reintroduced.
Yes.
So it's new.
Yes.
For
it was
us.
New. Yes, of course.
And so suddenly there's and something to photograph.
So you are knowing the region very well. And when the vulture has been reintroduced in
1999.
It was like an evidence to photography them, because it was starting the pictures at the same time, and it was...
Yes.
Yeah,
there was evidence. There's nobody at this date?
No. You've made a book... which year did this book come out?
In 2013, we published this book.
And what's the title of your book?
Verdun, d'autres visages. Other faces. Verdun, other faces. Because we wanted to show through this book many faces of the Verdun. Not only the vultures, but the artistic view of the region. So with different atmospheres. And,
water, rock.
Different feelings inside.
Flowers, forest.
Do you have a favorite image of the vulture that you've taken?
I think that I love one picture, many, but this, when we see the griffon vulture pushing on the tree with a frog.
So I'll explain the photograph. It's in the fog, there's a silhouette of cliff face down one side, and you can just see a branch sticking out from the cliff face with a silhouette of a griffon vulture.
Yeah, and we have the sun arrive and the light.
Mm-hmm. So is that morning or evening?
Yes, morning.
Morning.
So it's a really artistic view of the vulture. We just see the shape of it, and it's like Japanese picture, you know, very pure and minimalist.
And the tree emblematic in Verdun Gorge on the cliff when we climb.
I think it's a different way to show this vulture. And maybe before we didn't take pictures like this, more naturalist picture of the vulture. And maybe it was a new way to show this bird.
Of the tree, the cad.
And I think it's also a poetic way to show this bird. And its change of the predator it can be, you know.
Yeah.
Change the view of this bird. It's important.
I mean, when I've looked at some of your photographs, David, they are like paintings. They're really beautiful. They just make they're different.
David doesn't tell you, but his grandfather was a famous painter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And maybe he wanted to do the same with the camera.
Painting.
So, David and Stephanie have just passed me a lovely book. And, what's his name?
Désiré.
Désiré Almond. And he's a painter, and his paintings are really colourful, almost like Van Gogh.
Yes,
Van
Gogh, yes, it looks like.
And they're all of Provence?
Yes, all of the Provence.
Okay. So maybe that's where you get your artistic colours from.
Maybe.
Which photo has sort of sold the best?
This one.
And in the snow as well.
Right.
There's a vulture in the snow, and people like this atmosphere.
Oh yeah. So who typically buys your photos?
With the vulture flying, it could be children like this with action and more poetic like the other one, the first one we talk about.
In the fog.
And people who like artistic way and
in the moon.
The vulture in the moon.
The vulture in the moon.
People like this one as well.
That's a good
shot. It has been sold many times.
How important do you think the Gorge du Verdon as a background is to photographing the vulture?
And I love the vulture in my photography. Put the animals in the environment, like chamois or griffon vulture. It's very important to show the environment around the animals.
And the landscape.
And the landscape.
Gives it context.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And the atmosphere around.
And the atmosphere.
But do you think the gorge brings an extra element of beauty?
Of course, because the landscapes are exceptional. The Verdon Gorge are so beautiful.
I love take the picture in the environment, landscape. And sometimes I look for the animals like a signature.
Yeah.
I make in my head the composition of the picture.
Yeah.
And after, I look for little element magnify the picture. It's more important for me, the environment, than like animals.
I can see on this photograph here, which is similar to the other one with the fog.
Yeah.
The bird's a lot smaller.
Yeah, small.
And you have to work a bit harder to see it, but you can see it perfectly.
Yes, but you see that is a griffon and not a tree.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. Right. I like this picture.
It's playing, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to know if you can talk about how you work together.
As soon as I can, I go on the in the nature with David to get the atmosphere where we take pictures and to be able to write all the sensations and all the feelings we can have when we take the picture. So it's important to be on the ground in the wildlife to express by writing all the feelings.
Okay.
Stephanie writes the text and sometimes makes the picture too.
It was not possible.
For example, in the book Other Face in Verdon Gorge, we have made a lot of pictures of snake eagles.
Yes.
It's a migratory bird emblematic of Verdon Gorge too.
And sometimes I was with David and it was very cold and very long.
Okay. Very long hide.
Yeah.
And these birds arrive in April until September. And you must stay in hide in the summer, July, and the temperature is very, very, very hot, 30 degrees sometimes. Yeah. It's very, very hard.
It's not comfortable. Not
comfortable.
Not at all.
Sometimes.
And what do you do if you need to go to the toilet?
The toilet. You make before
all right.
And after the finish.
Okay. In your book, Other Faces of the Verdon, you have a chapter on the griffon vultures, but no photos of the lamagaya, the Egyptian, or the black vulture.
Yeah.
Why is that? Were they harder to photograph? Or is that a choice that you made just to have griffon vulture?
Not just a griffon vulture. Griffon vulture because it's an emblematic griffon in the Verdon Gorge with a reintroduction. The griffon vulture stay all the year in the territory. We have 300 couple griffon vulture. We have less in the black griffon, 20.
That's a lot less.
Yes. Egyptian, they are just one couple. And the gypaète, it's very, very difficult to see.
I've never seen that.
Since 20 years, I see maybe 10.
Do you have any other projects that you do in the Gorge de Verdon with the vultures?
Yes, because we have a workshop. We organize a different workshop to see the griffon vulture in spring, autumn, with a little group of only just one person. We make we see the griffon. We learn different techniques at the stagiaire.
So you teach photography?
Yes, yes.
To people who want to take photos of the vulture?
Exactly.
Okay. So like a mini holiday, really, like a short
holiday. All the day, or sometimes on 2 days when we have a group. But sometimes it's just 1 day with one person or two person.
The good thing about griffon vultures is they're easier to photograph because they come in close, yeah?
Yes.
So does that help you for your stage? Because you can see them quite easily, can't you?
Yes, but it's easy for us when the la LPU gave the food for the griffon vulture.
Yeah.
And we have sometimes 2 days on the rig, two gave the food, and when we gave the food, the birds coming, and it's more easy for us to take the picture at this moment,
yeah,
because we have the flight
coming
the
in.
The proximity of the flight is more difficult when 2 days after the food, because the birds go out in the Verdon Gorge, and the flight sometimes 100 kilometers, 50 kilometers, and we can see.
Okay.
And when he gave the food at the afternoon, we have seen 100 griffon flight around the room.
Wow. So you have happy clients?
Yes, yes.
Happy clients?
Yes. Normally, it's during this day.
And have you got any interesting stories or encounters with griffon vultures when you've been out there on your own or with clients?
Yes. When you arrive, you stay at the same place during 2 hours, and you see a griffon perch just 10 meters. You don't see you. Wow, the surprise. Because we are hide near to the tree or the rock, and you see the griffon, very big birds. Amazing birds.
So, do you have anything in the future lined up, any projects? What's next for David and Stephanie Allemande?
Yes, of course. We work since many years on a new project on the Northern Europe, all the countries we visited during many years, the last 20 years.
Mm. So which countries would that be?
So
Iceland,
yeah.
Norway, Svalbard.
Finland.
Finland, the European North.
Until the Arctic.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's all the North. And we want through this book to show all the beauty of this area. Because I think with the beauty and with the artistic, it's a good way to awareness people, a good way to give some messages of preservation.
And we are ambassador. We advocate
of Nature First.
Nature First.
Nature First is an association created in the USA.
USA.
And in each part of the world, they need advocates. So we, in French, we are their advocates. So it's our way to contribute as well at the conservation of the planet and of the wildlife.
Well, thank you for your...
Thank you to you.
For inviting me into your home, both of you. It's been lovely.
Thank you to have come in and to think of us. It's a pleasure. Thank you, Yann.
Thank you for listening to part one of Griffon Vultures from Stories from the Gorge du Verdon. In part two of our Griffon Vulture programme, we will be speaking to BBC wildlife presenter Chris Sparing concerning the reintroduction programme in the Gorge de Verdon of the griffon vulture. We will also be speaking to someone who lives in a village that is situated next to a colony of griffon vultures. This programme was presented and edited by Ian Callan with help from Will Ebrie, and was brought to you by World Radio Provence.